in the rest of the world, or at least in the church in the rest of the world. Yesterday's gospel was the famous account of Jesus' first sign, the transforming of water into wine at the wedding of Cana. If we had read that reading here in the Philippines, I would very naturally connect it to today's gospel, where Jesus speaks about wedding guests and bridegrooms and about wine and wineskins. It just seems like it goes along with yesterday's gospel. The whole business of new wine, that's what Jesus provided in abundance at the wedding feast. But since we didn't reflect on that gospel yesterday, I'd like to focus instead on today's first reading, the story of Saul and his disobedience, his false sense of obedience to God. Perhaps the reason why this strikes me is that yesterday we focused on the account of Jesus when he was 12 years old, staying in the temple in Jerusalem. And it looked, in a certain way, like he was disobedient to his parents by staying in the temple when they went back to Nazareth. And when Mary asked him in yesterday's gospel, "Why did you do this?" he said, why are you looking for me? Don't I have to stay in my father's house?" So it was clear that Jesus was not being disobedient to his parents. He was being obedient to the Father. He was doing the will of the Father, as of course he was always doing, but he was often misunderstood, both in his childhood and especially in his public life. He was often misunderstood. Well, he's even misunderstood here in this business about fasting. So Jesus is the model of obedience. Obedience to the Father. And then in yesterday's gospel, after making this declaration about his call to be about the business of the Father or to stay in the house of the Father, the gospel immediately says, well, then he went back to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. So his obedience to the Father was then expressed by his obedience to Joseph and Mary. It's all about obedience yesterday. Or at least that's one of the themes that we could have pondered yesterday at the Feast of the Santo Niño. One of the things I tried to stress in my own reflection, my own homily yesterday, was that obedience is key to maturity. So we honor the Santo Niño, the child, but he was mature child. He was a child who was obedient, and that's why he's the perfect example. Okay, well, with that in the back of my mind, I picked up today's first reading, and here's Samuel, the prophet Samuel, correcting Saul for his disobedience. Saul had been commanded by the Lord to eliminate the whole Amalekite community from top to bottom, including all the animals. And he didn't do that. So Samuel says, well, the Lord told me, you didn't do it. You didn't do what you were told to do. You were disobedient. Saul's response is, no, I was obedient. I did obey the Lord and fulfill the mission on which the Lord sent me. He justifies himself. I kept the best of the animals for the Lord. Samuel gives this brilliant response. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the command of the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that spiritual principle is what I'd like to ponder a little bit. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It takes a little thought, because sacrifice seems like the big gift. It seems like the difficult thing. It seems like the better thing to sacrifice, show that you're really putting God first. And obedience, which is sometimes not noticed by others. I mean, it's certainly noticed by people who are being obedient, but nobody else might notice that radical submission to God. Obedience doesn't seem like as big a thing, but if you think about it just a little bit, you'll realize obedience is much more important than sacrifice. In fact, obedience is sacrifice. Genuine obedience is the greatest sacrifice. In modern times, the objection would be, I don't want either of them, obedience or sacrifice. I want to do what I want, and I want to feel good about it. So, that might be in the mind of people. I choose neither obedience nor sacrifice. But, of course, that's a path to absolute degeneration. You don't have to have faith to realize that life requires sacrifice. If you love anyone, even if it's the most immature love, it calls you to sacrifice because the one whom you love is worth more than whatever you prefer. Love always moves us to sacrifice. Or, to be even more basic, if we want to accomplish anything, we have to sacrifice. We can't give in to every whim or every desire and expect to even move forward in life, much less become good at anything. So we look at and we honor the athletes, for example, who sacrifice for years to get a medal or to win a championship. We say, wow, they really sacrificed in order to develop their abilities to compete, and look what they accomplished. But even the losing team sacrificed. Even the people who don't win the medal, they sacrifice in order to pursue a goal. And so even in the most basic, normal level, sacrifice is simply part of life. You can't say, I'm not going to choose obedience or sacrifice. But as I give these examples, it looks like sacrifice is the thing. Sacrifice is the thing that makes us great. We train, we study, we work hard, we do, and we become great. Along comes Samuel, and he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Maybe one way to ponder this is to think about the evangelical counsels, because obedience is one of them. Poverty, chastity, obedience. Poverty, chastity, obedience. To outsiders, it looks like poverty and chastity are the big sacrifices. To anyone who strives to live according to these counsels, you know that poverty is actually the easiest one. Because poverty is the giving up of things that we possess, things that we own, things. Those things are not that close to us, really. I mean, it can be hard in the moment, but it's really not that hard. Look at St. Anthony, today's saint. He's 20 years old. He hears the Lord telling him to give away everything. He gives it all away. And we say, oh, that's the great moment of his life. Well, what about the other 80 years of his life? After he didn't have anything more to give away, does that mean he was holy after 2 days? No. Then he had to live chastity and obedience. Chastity is harder than poverty because it's not simply giving away possessions, but it's disciplining our affections, our relationships, putting our love in order, our intimacy in order. Chastity. Chastity is a deeper sacrifice than poverty. It's closer to the heart. But the hardest of all is obedience, and the most costly obedience, because it's not simply what we own or what we love, it's ourselves, it's our own will that is being sacrificed when we're obedient. And that's what's most precious to us, our will. So to sacrifice the will, which is what obedience is the greatest gift to God. It's better than any other sacrifice. In fact, it's the sacrifice. And if you ask Anthony of the Desert, today's saint, he would say, giving away all his inheritance was nothing by comparison to living 80 years in obedience to God, radical obedience to God, and that's his greatness. Let's go back to Saul here. Samuel says, you were disobedient. Saul says, no, I was obedient. Great lesson in human disorder here, or human psychology. Not only is he disobedient, but he justifies his disobedience. He rationalizes it. And this is worse. It's one thing if someone says, well, you disobeyed the Lord. It's one thing to say, well, I'm sorry, that's true. I didn't really do what I should have done. That's what a humble person would say. Or it might say, I was afraid, and so I fell. I was afraid of what people would think of me, so I lied. I really wanted that thing, and so I took it. I know I shouldn't have. That at least is a humble admission of wrongdoing. But how often do we say, well, there's nothing wrong with that I did. I wasn't so bad. Or I had a good reason for saying that. Or I think it was better. What I did was better than what you're telling me. That's what Saul does. He justifies himself. He rationalizes his disobedience. And so he digs his heels in. He's worse off. But I'm telling you, this is a very, very common response. And so I'm sure if we look at ourselves, we can all find in ourselves this justification of disobedience, this rationalization of disobedience, that what we were really doing was actually good. It wasn't so bad. That's really Saul's downfall. Perhaps if he had humbled himself before Samuel and said, you're right, I put my will ahead of God's will, and I'm really sorry. Maybe he could have been accepted. But in fact, he said, no, I did the right thing. I did it for the Lord. Samuel says, well, you rejected the Lord, so now the Lord has to reject you. You cut yourself off from the will of God by making your will more important than his will. Well, that's what sin is. Sin is that we choose our own will and we make it more important than God's will. That's why obedience is better than sacrifice. That's why obedience is the greatest sacrifice. And that's the challenge of the Christian life, to submit ourselves again and again, even after we have fallen, and to admit that we fall and say, well, I disobeyed. I didn't do what God wanted, but I want to again. Once again, Lord, I give you my will. Going back to the gospel that we didn't have yesterday, the gospel of the wedding feast at Cana, remember what Mary told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. That's the principle of obedience. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, even if it seems like you have a better idea, even if it seems like something else would be a better and more glorious sacrifice to the Lord, forget all that. Do whatever he tells you. That's obedience. And that's where our real maturity and our real holiness comes from. We learn this from St. Anthony. Certainly we learn it from the Blessed Virgin Mary. Then we learn it from Jesus himself, who does nothing but the will of the Father. So obedience is the sacrifice to offer to God.